Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
We are settling league disputes. Actually, not a ton of fantasy cops today because we have a lot of news to get to. But believe it or not, there is a different definition of ADP. In fact, it doesn't even stand for average draft position, according to one terrible commissioner. So we're going to tell him why he sucks as a commissioner and make him change one of his rulings. I'm Adam Azer with Dan Schneier here on a Friday afternoon. Oh, sorry. It's 11:48 a.m., so I think it's the afternoon. Some people think it's still the morning, but whatever the case may be. Hey, Dan, what's going on?
What's going on, Adam? Happy to be here. I want to do one more shameless promotion. And it's not shameless because, look, it's for St. Jude. It's for an amazing cause. If you do have time and the means to donate, please donate to our Draftathon store. Or we are hosting on the 28th next Monday, not this coming Monday, next Monday after that, right. August 28th. A St. Jude's Draftathon poker tournament. So please get involved in that. I'll have more details on that to come on our social channels. And Adam will also probably talk about a little bit more on the pod. But if you like poker, and you want to join us to play against us, and you want to raise money for St. Jude, please join us for that.
And I've got a link to the eBay store where you can bid on so many amazing things in the episode description. And I'm going to put it in the YouTube chat right now. Okay. So let's get started with some players. I think a couple weeks ago we talked about players that we draft a lot. Let's talk about players that we avoid a lot.
Ooh, yeah.
Got any avoids?
Oh, I got a lot of avoids, Adam. Let me hit this up. You want me to go by position?
Yeah, as long as you don't, you know, talk 5 minutes about every player, sure.
Okay, that's fine, and that's noted. But zero avoids at the quarterback position. So we're going to move past that. Avoids at running back. I'm not drafting any Najee Harris. I don't like that price at all. I'm not drafting any of Travis Etienne. I hate the Travis Etienne price. He's a player who I didn't like as a prospect coming out. I watch him in his preseason games, some of the same issues that he had at Clemson. He bounces runs outside. I call it the Saquon Barkley factor. Just not a great processor from a running standpoint. Don't love the talent. Don't love the situation with James Robinson back. Throwing a bunch of red dead zone backs for me. Elijah Mitchell avoid, Cam Akers avoid, David Montgomery avoid, Miles Sanders avoid, Josh Jacobs avoid, Antonio Gibson avoid. So we got a slew of guys there. Now as we move to receiver, I'm not drafting Tyreek Hill this year, Adam. I don't know if you are. I'm not.
Okay, Deontay Johnson, stop right there.
Same.
Deontay, I'm kind of with you. Now, it's always an at-cost thing, and you're going to hear over the weekend, I already recorded this with Jacob Gibbs, the Tyreek Hill profile. I had not been drafting him, but we did a draft on Thursday. You were not in, I'm sorry, but me, Dave, Jamie Heath, and eight other industry people was our IDP league, and the IDPs don't start getting drafted until like round six or something like that. I'll have to take a look, but I did draft Tyreek Hill for the first time. I had the third pick. I went McCaffrey in round one. Justin Jefferson went in round two, by the way. We're actually going to talk about that later via an email. I took Keenan Allen in round two. The next four picks were Javonte Williams, Mark Andrews, DJ Moore, Michael Pittman, and then I took Tyreek Hill in round three. I don't take him in round two, but I was fine taking him there. I took him ahead of AJ Brown, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Cortland Sutton. You know,
And I think Adam brings up a great point here. When we say avoid, it doesn't mean we're not taking him no matter what. Right. It's avoid at KDP. It's avoid at cost. It's avoid at what we project him to go. Where Adam got him, I would take him there too. So I think that's fine. But okay. In most drafts, he is going higher.
Right. I don't love him in round two, but at the beginning of round three, I was fine with, I think he was wide receiver 12, something like that in this draft.
Are you in on any of those dead zone backs I reeled off? I feel like you always love a couple dead zone.
So we
I'm just joking, by the way.
No, I don't. I love AJ Dillon. I don't know if you mentioned him.
I didn't mention him. No, I did not mention him.
Say them again.
Okay, here we go. Let me get that list up because I have it all in my tiers, color-coded with the big red dead zone. So the list includes Elijah Mitchell, David Montgomery.
Oh, yeah.
Miles Sanders.
I drafted him in round five yesterday.
You like Montgomery.
I love him in round five. I think he's fine in round four. I do not take him in round three.
Yeah, who doesn't like the least talented guy in a backfield with the worst offensive line in football? I get it. Next, we got Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders also makes my list.
Yeah.
Josh Jacobs. You know I'm a Josh Jacobs hater. I don't know if there's any round I'd take him in.
I think when you're going to say all these guys, I'm
joking, by the way, about that. I would take these guys if they drop too far.
Yeah, I don't think Montgomery's really, to me, in this group. But I don't like the ones that go first. So basically, if I can build a solid roster and, you know, load up on wide receivers and maybe like Dalton Schultz in rounds 4, 5, 6, and any of these guys are available in round 7, at that point, I mean, I've got the core of my team. I don't really believe in dead zone once we get to round 7 in a 12-team league. I really feel like at that point, you've got the crux of your team, unless you took a quarterback and a tight end in those picks, and maybe you want to build a little bit more of your running back or more of your wide receiver depth. But at that point, if any of those guys fall to round 7, and many of them will, I'm totally fine with it at that point, round 7 in a 12-team league, so that's pick 73 or later. Especially Miles Sanders, I know he's already hurt. Not to say that I like him better than Josh Jacobs, I just think it's much more realistic that he'll be there in round 7 than Josh Jacobs. But, I mean, I'm loving the Eagles right now. I think they're going to be really aggressive this year. They're absolutely loaded with talent. They have arguably the best offensive line in football. So if I can get their starting running back in round 7, I understand there's downside, but basically any round 7 pick other than a quarterback is going to have downside. I'm fine with that.
And I think you nailed it, Adam, because the borders are bending. Last year, the dead zone was 1, maybe 2, maybe honestly 3 rounds higher. Like, these guys weren't going in round 7. Right. The Miles Gaskins and Mike Davis of the world were going round 4 out of necessity. Now they've all been pushed down. The market has really adjusted to these types of backs and and like you said, I mean, once you get to round 7, I don't hate it. It becomes outside the dead zone, I guess you could say, in some ways. But I just still find it probably hard for me to not want to take a chance on a receiver there that I think has more upside.
Right. So I got to get those high upside receivers before I take those running backs. We just did a draft with the listeners and there were some good values in round 7. And in round 7 in the draft that the IDP went that I just mentioned, looks like those running backs were kind of gone by then. So round 6 was AJ Dillon, Damian Pierce. I think that's too early. Clyde, I could be wrong about that, but I think it's too early. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kareem Hunt, Chase Edmonds. Round 7 was Tony Pollard, Ken Walker, Miles Sanders. There he was. Miles Sanders, Ramondre Stevenson, Damian Harris. It looks like running backs went a little bit earlier in this draft. All right, anyone else?
Yeah, I'll close out with just the last three guys on my avoid list. It's TJ Hockenson, Dalton Schultz, and Zach Ertz, the tight end group. And I don't want to throw Darren Waller on this, but I kind of do because I'm super weirded out by his entire offseason, missing days, comes back to practice, and is out again the next day. Had weird injuries last year as an older prospect in general who broke out at a late age, and now is Davante Adams with him. Alongside one of arguably the maybe 5, 6 worst offensive lines in football, low key, no one's talking about it, but it could really screw the Raiders this year. So I'm probably avoiding him too, but I'm definitely avoiding what I consider the quote unquote, I'll term it this, Adam, the dead zone of tight ends, that middle tight ends. When you start to use those round 6 through 8 picks at tight end instead of just using your last round pick, because I just don't know if I see enough of a difference with the Hockenson, Schultz, Ertz of the world versus the guy you're going to get in the last round at tight end or the guy you're going to pick off the waiver wire for matchups.
Yeah, I see it very differently. I know that a lot of waiver wire guys will end up being good. That's not the best way to say it, but I've given this stat before. Over the last 4 years, 50% of the top 5 or 6 tight ends each year, you know, so that's, I don't remember if it was top 5 or top 6, but half of them have been drafted in round 12 or later. So it just happens all the time. the Logan Thomas, Robert Tonyans of 2020, the Dalton Schultz of 2021.
Yep.
But I like Dalton Schultz a lot in round six. I was reading one beat writer saying Dalton Schultz is going to catch 100 passes this year. He's very involved right now. I like Dalton Schultz a lot in round six. I did take him in that IDP draft in round seven, actually, third pick of round seven. Ertz is like a round eight or nine guy for me before I have to dip into the unproven Cole Kmets. I just don't really agree. Actually, for me, I've been avoiding Kittle and Waller. I don't know. The players you're passing up to get them at running back and receiver are just too good, and they have too many question marks to me.
If you do, what you said is true. One, about 50% of those top five, six tight ends come from undrafted, essentially round 12 or later, which is basically undrafted in a sense. I mean, that's including a lot of free agents in there. But also, historically, typically, these round five through eight tight ends have just not done well historically. Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of examples in recent years. So what makes you, is it just the guys specifically, you just really like these players?
Well, I really like Schultz.
Schultz, yeah. Okay, so it's Schultz.
And, you know, Mark Andrews did come out of that range last year. We've seen some success stories there. I really like Schultz. I like to wait longer on Goddard and Hockenson. I don't really like them at their ADP, but I'm not opposed to taking them because, again, it's really, to me, it's always about, have I built the core of my team at running back and wide receiver? Not always, but often. If I'm going to stray to tight end, I want to feel good about my running backs and wide receivers, at least my wide receivers. Because I could take Dalton Schultz in round six and then grab Miles Sanders in round seven, hopefully as an RB3, but maybe as an RB2 if I have, like, you know, Jalen Hurts. You know what I'm saying? So
yep.
I just want to feel good about my team, specifically at wide receiver, a little bit less so at running back. And then, you know, and then I don't really care too much about ADP once I get into round seven, eight, or whatever. I'll just kind of take what I need because I do think you start to see the end of potentially great players. I think what you're seeing for me, it's always about don't pass up potentially great players to fill a position. You know, so once I feel like those great players are off the board, I guess I'm just not as concerned, which is why I'm fine taking Zach Ertz. I don't feel like when I take Zach Ertz in round eight or nine, I don't feel like I'm passing up on potential superstars personally.
Yeah, you're not,
stars,
by the way.
Not superstars, yeah. All right, that's it for that conversation. Thank you, Dan Schneier. We have an email of the day, which is a fun one. Email of the day comes from John. Why does Dan want to fight Adam so much? The hate is palpable. Can we have them battle in sumo suits or something? Maybe an idea to raise money for charity. Now, that's
this is
something
a perfect,
I do.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would definitely do that for charity. No problem.
We should consider something for some kind of battle royale for charity for St. Jude right here. We got another few weeks. Maybe we can craft it up. But there is no actual hate for Adam. I actually really love the guy. He's a great person, and he's done a really nice thing to help me get me more involved in FFT. Now, as far as our shtick on the show goes, and it is just a shtick, I want to say this because I have seen this from Adam, and I think he's cherry picking emails. I've seen from other listeners, people say, Adam gives it back to you. All right. There was a live stream on Tuesday where Adam's like, I like all the teams in this draft except for Schneier. There were little comments made like that throughout the draft. So just keep in mind, really consider, take a step back and think about it. Is it really just me dishing it all out and Adam taking it? Or is Adam doing some of the dishing and me doing a good job of taking it better maybe than Adam? That's the question you have to ask yourself as we move forward.
I want everybody to know that I have construction going on at my house, and I'm currently inhaling. It smells like paint fumes right now.
Oh, asbestos. Nice.
So
asbestos.
I don't quite know where I'm going to be.
Somebody hooked this guy up with Salino and Barnes. I think it's just Salino now.
That's a very good Northeastern America reference.
Do you know what happened there? I don't need to take too much time on this, but there's some weird circumstances surrounding Barnes' death. Now it's just Salino.
Oh, I didn't know he died. I'm sorry to hear that.
Barnes died in a plane crash, and it's just a little weird. They worked together for a long time, and then Salino kind of takes over.
Yeah, so they're injury attorneys,
1-888-888-888.
I could sing the song, but I'm not going to. All right. Anyway, here are your news and notes. Talked about some of this on the Friday episode, and we're recording this at Friday. It is noon, so now I'm going to say afternoon, noon Eastern. Bucks head coach Todd Bowles has no timetable for Tom Brady's return. Your level of concern about the Bucks passing game right now?
Oh, this is a weird one, right? Because it's Tom Brady. He's so old. He retired and unretired this offseason. But I think we'd have a little more smoke if that was even in play. So I'm just not going to move these players down at all. Have you downgraded them, or have you kind of shied away from drafting any of them?
Not yet. I think he'll be back, and I don't think he needs any training camp. So
no, he definitely doesn't need that.
Deshaun Watson suspended 11 games. He is required to comply with a professional evaluation and treatment plan. And if he does not comply with that, the suspension could get extended. But we have no reason to think it won't be 11 games, which is 12 weeks in fantasy. Matthew Stafford said his elbow feels good. Sean McVay did not say that Stafford was completely pain-free, but it does seem like things are moving in the right direction there. And Jets head coach Robert Saleh did not rule out Zach Wilson for week one. It is expected that he will miss week one. And who knows how much longer, but it shouldn't be too long for Zach Wilson.
The scary thing there is if you read all the beat reports coming out of Jersey, the Jets offense is moving better than it has the entire camp now with Flacco. So that's the scary part.
It was better last year without Wilson. And did we see a lot of Wilson in the first game? No, it was a drive and a half, but he stunk.
Oh my God, was it a bad drive and a half? The interception he threw, he snapped the football, turned completely to his right, stood there for a second and a half, and then telegraphed a slant that was just jumped by the linebacker easily. I mean,
he needs reps.
He overthrew a ball in the flat for 5 yards. That was 4 yards over the receiver's head. It was scary. It's not a joke. Go look at the tape.
It's not good right now. Running back. Melvin Gordon said the team wants Javonte Williams to be the guy, but that they will rotate. I did talk about this on the Friday show. It seemed like Dave, Jamie, and Heath still don't want to take Javonte Williams in round two. Mm-hmm. Ramondre Stevenson continues to get some work in the passing game, but Ty Montgomery is still ahead of him there. And Montgomery is definitely, you know, maybe in a PPR league, your last pick. He might get, you know, four catches or so. And he might get you 8 points in a pinch in PPR.
Yeah. And there's also a little bit more upside than that, right? Because this James White role has been an incredibly valuable fantasy role in PPR league. It might be a bit of him, a bit of Stevenson. We'll see. But if it is one person, that's a valuable role for fantasy.
Miles Sanders missed another practice on Thursday with a hamstring injury. Not sure about Friday, but he's nursing a hamstring injury. Miles Sanders. James Robinson, I did talk about this with Jamie. Jamie's much higher on ETN than Dan is, for example. But James Robinson looks like he's going to be ready for week one. Florida Times Union thinks he'll be brought along slowly, but eventually Robinson will be the lead running back for the Jaguars. Jalen Warren is a name to know. He's a rookie running back for the Steelers, and he might be the number two guy there behind Najee Harris. And The Athletic had a lot of stuff on the Bills offense at running back. It could be a three-man committee, and that could be Zach Moss in short yardage. So buyer beware on Devin Singletary, which Dan has been saying for months now.
I want to add one thing. I did watch the Bills preseason. Zach Moss looks fresh. He looks explosive. He looks better than I've seen him at really any point in the NFL. Reminded me a bit of his college tape.
Okay. Devin Singletary did not play in that game.
Yep.
Most the starters basically didn't. At wide receiver, Chiefs are a little beat up with Mecole Hardman and Juju Smith-Schuster, but they're not serious injuries. Some rookies to know who are having good camps, Alec Pierce for the Colts and Kyle Phillips for the Titans. Did you bring him up a couple weeks ago? You did, right?
Yeah, I did. I love Kyle Phillips.
All right.
Devontae
Smith had a huge joint practice against Cleveland. Boy, I should have said that differently. Sorry about that. Devontae Smith was great during a joint practice against Cleveland. And a reminder that Devontae Smith still has the potential to be great. You know, it's tough. I don't really know how to evaluate them.
It's so weird because how much pass volume will there even be there? Can Jalen Hurts support two receivers in a heavy pass volume attack? We'll
see.
The
tight end. You know,
and Goddard.
They've
right.
got a lot of talent. I mean, they are.
They should win good. The NFC East.
They should. If Jalen Hurts really breaks out, they are Super Bowl contenders. If he breaks out. I mean, he really needs to be good. Michael Pittman was a beast during joint practices with the Lions.
Oh, yeah.
The Athletic, again, that article about the Bills, there isn't much standing in the way of both Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis playing 90+% of the snaps.
Ooh.
Yeah. And just a tight end note there, O.J. Howard, according to Joe Biscaglia of the Athletic, doesn't appear to be an immediate threat to Dawson Knox for playing time. CeeDee Lamb not practicing, should be back next week. Michael Gallup ran routes for the first time since tearing his ACL on January 2nd. And Kadarius Toney will not play this weekend, but he is participating in individual drills. Two tight end notes. Austin Hooper of the Titans. Seems like he's having a good camp. And Ryan Tannehill's chemistry with Austin Hooper is building. We're going to put him in the Breakfast Club. That's the Don't You Forget About Me Club. Austin Hooper. And Minnesota tight end Irv Smith remains on track to play week one despite a thumb injury. You like that, the Breakfast Club?
I like the motion you did with your arm while you were doing. You did like, yeah, like don't you?
Well, you've seen the movie, right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's always an awful movie. I mean, I'm sure
it's so overrated. Why do people think that's such a good movie?
Because they grew up with it and it was good then. Okay. But it's so bad if you've never seen it before. But at the very end, they do. You know, what's his name? What's his name?
That's like the payoff. Like I was waiting for a payoff the entire movie. I guess that was it.
Yeah, the fact that you don't have to watch the movie anymore, that's the payoff. All right, we'll take a quick break here. Fantasy Cops joining us when we come back.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We're back on Fantasy Football Today, here to settle your league disputes. If you have a league issue or a bad commissioner, or maybe you're the commissioner, and you have bad or maybe you stink. Who knows? Send us an email to fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We do have a comment here that I just want to read from Jeff Stanley. No worse entertainment takes than Dan's. I would have to agree.
Wow, Jeff, what? Can we talk about this a little more, Jeff? I had a great take about... You just don't put it back up, Adam. We saw it already. It was already flashed on the screen once. That's all we needed. Jeff, you need to reconsider this. What are so bad about my entertainment takes? I had a great take about Cheers. Frasier. What else have
Frasier's
I done?
Frasier's not bad. Frasier's really not bad. You didn't even know anything about Frasier. You thought it took place in New York City.
I saw
it. Great take, Dan. Yeah. Like Full right. House.
Let's follow Yuppie around and watch his life. It's great.
All right. Back to the Fantasy Cops here. Send us an email at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Put Fantasy Cops in the subject
line. I'll remember that, Jeff.
The first email comes from Tim Frost. He says, Dear Charles, Patrick, Navarro, and Fred.
Linebackers on the 49ers.
Oh, good for you. That was good. Way to go. Help make this make sense. I'm in a keeper league where you keep two players a year of the value you drafted them at. It's a $200 salary cap draft with a $200 budget. All right, so you keep two players at the value you drafted them at, and you add $5 each year. The problem is that last year someone cut Christian McCaffrey, and since he was taken off of waivers, you can keep him at his ADP. The way I assumed ADP worked was his average value of either last year or this year. That makes sense. The commissioner informed me that ADP stands for average draft price for the position. So he averaged the value of every running back drafted and came to the number of $26 out of 200. So by this logic, even someone who wanted to keep Cordarrelle Patterson after getting him off of waivers would have to pay $26. I seem to be the only one who seems to think that this rule is ridiculous. Am I taking crazy pills? Please help me make sense of this.
No, you're not taking crazy pills. This is a horrific rule. And you need to readjust. You need to talk to the commissioner and readjust how he does his auction. There's a very simple way to do it. You can do it where you draft the players and they go up by a percentage every year. That's how we do it. They go up by 25% for the first year, rounded up, and 50%. Now, as far as free agents go, we add a flat rate of plus $10 to any free agent pickup. But if a player like Christian McCaffrey is dropped, we have a rule in place which fixes this whole problem you have, which is essentially any player cannot be kept for less than their original draft price. Either it's the higher of either original draft price or the free agent price, because you don't want a situation where now somebody's keeping Christian McCaffrey for $26 and it's screwing up your entire auction for no reason, just because you didn't have any rules in place.
Well, there has to be a specific rule about what happens with players on waivers.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that has to be there, but there isn't in this case. So what do we do here?
What do you do?
Well, no, there is a rule. There is a rule. The rule is it's the average. It's the ADP, which he thought would be the average of McCaffrey's last two ADPs, but average draft price. But instead, it's the average of every running back. I don't even know, man. No, it's got to be McCaffrey's price. Like, how could you think that every
the original draft price is fine?
Right, plus $5. How could
plus
you
five think, or whatever your
how could the commissioner think that the average of every running back would make sense?
Makes
there
any
for,
sense
for a waiver wire guy? Right?
I mean, yeah.
It's just wild. It's a bad rule. Jason in Saskatoon. Dear Riggs, Murtaugh, McLean, and Traven. Ooh, I don't know.
No who, shot on that one.
I don't know who Traven is. You don't know who Riggs and Murtaugh are?
No. Who are they?
Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, I don't do movies.
Oh, okay. So we should definitely take your. So we should take entertainment advice from the guy who's.
I've seen every elite show in the history of the book and.
You know,
I
don't take movies.
Yeah, I'm feel a TV like, guy. TV is the better. TV is by far away the better medium.
I feel like.
The Wire.
If you're on
is the greatest show of all fantasy, time, you're right.
If you're on fantasy football today, you need to have seen Lethal Weapon and Die Hard. It's just.
All right, I'll watch. I've seen Die Hard.
All right, good.
Hopefully that's
not,
great.
Not on Christmas. Oh, Lethal Weapon's great too, by the way. I have a league issue. The day before our Superflex Dynasty auction salary cap startup draft, a manager said he couldn't make it. We didn't have anyone to draft for him, so we attempted to auto draft. The auto draft dropped his whole budget on Kyler, Jefferson, Javonte, and Najee Harris. The rest of his 25-man roster, that's a lot of people, by the way. It's a dynasty auction startup. The rest of his 25-man roster scrubs. We offered him half-price buy-in for the next 5 years of the league, but when he saw his team, he quit the league. I don't know that we can find someone to take over the team. What options do we have?
Oh my God, this is such a disaster in so many ways. First of all, for those who don't know, now you've learned, you cannot do an auto drafter for auction or for salary cap drafts. You have to have everyone there because the auto drafter just bids up all the big beginning players till they run out of budget. It's just like a simple computer algorithm that doesn't have any nuance to it. So start with that. Now, secondly, if this guy wasn't going to be able to make your salary cap draft, you should have either redone the draft or found someone before the draft.
They couldn't. He gave him 1 day notice.
Yeah, and then you just have to reschedule the draft. I mean, this is a terrible move by the guy giving 1 day notice and then deciding to quit after not liking his auto-drafted team. He should have found someone to draft for him, but now what do you do now that you're in this position? That's the tough part. No one's going to probably want to take this orphan team. Having said that, you are putting out a good offer here. I mean, 5 years at half price is pretty good. So I'd say, you know, try to reach out to people first, but I don't know what's going to happen here.
I would say give him 3 years at no price,
but
don't make him eligible to win the pot. Like, you know, let him play, but he can't, or maybe just if he wins, he gets 10%. He's not going to win.
The problem with that is it does change the entire fabric of the league because he'll now be incentivized to sell off all of his players because he doesn't need to win at all for those first 3 years. He's not even paying, and he could just trade for the future.
But this team needs to do that anyway.
Yeah, but then he's not paying for the 3 years of bad, and then he just has a loaded team when he enters the league. For what? For missing the draft and notifying his league a day before he gets a reward?
But he doesn't really get to stand for that. All right, fine. I gotta be honest with
no
you.
No reward.
I gotta send this over to the FBI because the fantasy cops. I just have nothing. I got nothing here. I got nothing. This is really tough. This sucks. But yeah, I think your offer was fair. You could consider letting him in for free. He's not gonna win the league. you know, that's an option. I mean, there's no way this team is going to win. So you could just say, all right, play for free. But after a few years, you got to pay, you know? All right.
Yep.
Let's thank the Fantasy Cops. Thank you, Fantasy Cops, for your help. And thank you all for your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Maybe the best way to get your question read on the air is to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast. And within that review, please tell everybody who's going to see it why you like our show. And also your question. There you go. I like the show because the host gets lost in the middle of his sentences and doesn't know what he's talking about. So, yeah, leave your question, but also tell us not just your question, but why you like the show, because we're trying to gain more listeners and viewers. All right, Apple Podcasts. This one comes from More Kokomo. Dear Cooper, Calvin, Chris, and Stefan. Cooper Kupp, Calvin Johnson, Stefan Diggs. I don't know. They're wide receivers. Chris Carter. I think the industry is under... No?
Nah, just go on.
I think the industry is underrating Mike Williams. He finished top 12 last year. He's in a pass-heavy offense with a top quarterback in the league. No tight end, no true third wide receiver to take targets. The only one standing in his way to be a lead is an aging Keenan Allen, who's 30 now. When looking for breakouts, Mike Williams is the perfect one to take over guys like Pittman, Moore, A.J. Brown. That's the question. That's the comment.
Yeah, I love this. I mean, I'm a big fan of Mike Williams as well. I have him in my green, which is my target list. I think you nailed it here. To add a little more context to this, Keenan Allen's yards per route run have now dropped in 3 consecutive years. It was an all-time low last year. Want to throw that. And this offense still has more room to grow. They have, in my opinion, is the most talented young quarterback in the NFL, save for maybe Patrick Mahomes. And I'll say save for, yes, Patrick Mahomes. But with it, an offensive line that's only improving. They drafted Zion Johnson, the best offensive lineman in this entire draft class. I think overall, maybe you can put those tackles ahead of him. But man, he's hit the ground running at guard, and he's been awesome. So I love everything about the trajectory here. Now, Williams had a weird season, Adam. Like, he was amazing at first and probably above that even wide receiver 12 range, then tailed off and picked it back up. Yeah. So consistency might always be kind of an issue for him, but they are using him on different routes than they ever used him before Herbert and Lombardi got there. So now he's being used on more slants, more in-breakers, more of those high percentage routes that are quick, easy completions. So I think he has more PPR upside than he had in his profile earlier in his career. So I'm with you, man. I love Williams as a breakout type.
What you said about the routes is everything to me. Yeah, I've talked about this in the first 5 games of the season. He was the number 2 wide receiver in fantasy. He had 82 or more yards in 4 of 5 games. Number 2 wide receiver in fantasy with a 1-for-11 game against the Raiders in week 4. 2 fantasy points. After that, he was not a top 40 wide receiver. And the big difference is the ADOT. If they're going to use him on different routes, which they did at the beginning of the year, I'm sorry if you've heard this a million times, then Mike Williams is going to be awesome. If he's just going to be a downfield guy, mostly a downfield guy, then he's going to be inconsistent. So that's a big question. I'm starting to feel like I was way too low on him and should try to draft him a little bit more, because he is going to get a ton of targets. He had 129 in 16 games last year. So he could definitely get 140 targets this year. And I also could see Justin Herbert. I was thinking about this. I haven't drafted Justin Herbert. I probably won't draft Justin Herbert, not because it's him, just because I don't take the second or third quarterback off the board typically. It just wouldn't surprise me if he threw 50 touchdowns, 5,300 yards, won the MVP. He's so good. And Mike Williams could definitely benefit from that. Okay, next question. Losing my voice here, breathing in paint fumes. I apologize. This is from Cody. I'm having trouble differentiating between a tier of Mike Evans, DJ Moore, Michael Pittman, and AJ Brown. And I'll just leave it at that. How do you differentiate? It is a tough tier. It's a great tier. Evans, Moore, Pittman, Brown.
Yeah, okay. I'll try to differentiate them a little bit. I think the floor play here will and should always be Evans and DJ Moore. DJ Moore has proven that he earns targets, and he's going to have a high reception count. And I think he gets a little bit of a quarterback upgrade. Evans is a flip side of that. He's not as much of a target earner, but he is maybe one of the two, three best red zone wide receiver artists in the NFL. He's going to get touchdowns. He gets them every year. So I think they have the floor. Now you have more of the ceiling plays right here with Michael Pittman, who we haven't seen it really, but he's having an unreal camp and is a talent I love coming out of the draft, and does probably have an upgrade with Matt Ryan, but I think you can argue that the ceiling might be a little overstated. Adam, I'm curious to get your take on that, because this still is a run first team that operates through Jonathan Taylor. It's not like it's a super high pass volume team. I know the target should be funneled in his direction. I get that. But at the same time, that is in mind. But then you have A.J. Brown, who obviously is the highest ceiling of all of them. He's the best talent of this group, in my opinion. If Jalen Hurts takes that big step, then A.J. Brown could take that step too. But I actually feel like A.J. Brown has the lowest floor. He's a player I'm not drafting too much of, because my thoughts on this, Adam, is Jalen Hurts already has the rapport with Devontae Smith from last year. Is there a non-zero chance in my mind that Devontae Smith could at least earn the same, maybe more of a target share than A.J. Brown? For me, the answer is yes. The rapport is already there. I know that sounds crazy, but that's just how I see it. And A.J. Brown also has some troubling injury history. I mean, he's had multiple procedures done on the lower body that no one's talking about now, but they've cropped up in every season. So he would be the highest floor ceiling guy for me.
So how would you rank them?
So I would personally rank that group 1, Pittman, 2, Moore, 3, Evans, 4, Brown. But I know that's unorthodox. Brown is typically the highest ranked.
I'd probably go Moore, Evans, Pittman, Brown.
Okay.
I don't think any of them should go past the 30th pick. I mean, they're all really good. They could go as early as late round 2 in a 12-team league, and I don't think they should make it past the middle of round 3.
I mean, going back to our last question, I might put Williams over all of them. I don't know. I like Williams a lot. Like, just think about the Williams in that sense, right? He's going later, obviously, yeah. But do you definitely like those 4 over Williams?
Yes, but okay. I could definitely see myself being
because
wrong.
Because Keenan Allen?
Yeah, because of Keenan Allen and because of Mike Williams. I mean, you know, the one thing that scares me about Mike Williams is Corey Davis and Devontae Parker.
Right.
They did the same exact thing. They had huge years in their contract years, and they were both first-round NFL draft picks, and they had their best season. And then they got new deals, and they haven't been, well, Davis got a huge deal from the Jets. I guess Parker probably got a new deal too, right? Because he got traded to the Patriots.
I don't think he ever got a new deal. No.
He never got a new deal. He must have. Because this is, but anyway, first round wide receivers going in their contract year, explode, huge season, and didn't live up to it the next year. So that, I don't know. I mean,
and I really like that take from you, Adam, because they also have a lot of similarities in their profile, right? They all have an injury history, and they're all receivers who win with contested catch situations and their body strength and, you know, control, things like that in the air, body control, less than like kind of like speed and separation.
Right, right. The guy that you said, Mike Williams, the guy for me that jumps in this tier is Cortland Sutton.
Oh, I love Sutton too.
But I'm not going to lie to you. I don't feel strongly about any one of those guys. I think they're all really damn good. They're all great picks. Don't be afraid to take 2 of them. And I could sit here and say, oh yeah, DJ Moore is my favorite, but he could be last in this group. It wouldn't surprise me at all. It's a great tier.
Yep.
And you should be dipping in it.
From
Sosa 80, 17 team guillotine super flex tight end premium.
Wow.
Any advice for this?
Let me look at it. Let me think about it. 17 team guillotine super flex. My advice here is if you can get one of the only, you know, you get one of those 3 tight ends, if you have any opportunity to get one of Kelsey, Andrews, or Pitts, do it. So start with that. Other than that, draft quarterbacks, draft 3, get 3, no matter what. It's a super flex. So you're going to need, if you can get 3, get 3, get 2 for sure. Your first 3 or 4 picks should be. Yeah,
don't
okay, your first
that.
3 or 4 pick. But if you don't get one of those elite tight ends, I'm kind of okay waiting. But you got to get the quarterbacks. There's 17 team league. There's only 32 that start every week. So there's in this draft, like Adam, I don't know if I would take Christian or whoever you want to say, Jonathan Taylor, at all for the first 24 picks. I don't know if he'd be in my range. I just don't know that there's value to like having him, because if you don't take him, you take a quarterback, you're still going to get like Joe Mixon or something like that.
Yeah, I can't really give guillotine advice. Because, you know, there's going to be great players on the waiver wire every single week, basically.
That's true, too.
I wouldn't stray too far from a typical Superflex tight end premium strategy just because it's guillotine, put it that way. But 17-team league, you know, that's tough. So I'd take advantage of the depth at quarterback. And, you know, I'd probably, for me, deeper leagues, deeper leagues, I go a little more running back heavy just because they're so hard to find on waiver wire. However, like I said, it is a guillotine league, so they'll be on the waiver wire every week, but you're competing against so many other people. All right, from B-Cox 25, three-receiver PPR league. Am I crazy to like Justin Jefferson third overall behind McCaffrey and Jonathan Taylor?
Not at all. I've made the case before that if you love a breakout wide receiver, your number one wide receiver in full-point PPR, I've made the case that there is an argument to be made he should be going number one overall. Just look at what Cooper Kupp did last year in full point PPR scoring. And this is the type of season we're talking about. This is obviously how you feel about Justin Jefferson this year. And I get it. The breakout could be coming. But if you look at what Kupp did last year from an overall scoring standpoint in full point PPR, he was the number one player, right? He was the number one pick, and he was the person you wanted on your team. So I think the case can be made. You can take him at three. You can take him at one. You can take him at two. If you feel this strongly about Jefferson, it's easy to see why. I like it.
Yesterday in the IDP league we did, which is a three-receiver PPR league, don't even worry about the IDP factor. I'm just calling it the IDP league. Joe Pisapia, Fantasy Pros, took Justin Jefferson second. I had the third pick, so I was thrilled to get McCaffrey, but he took Jefferson second, and his team ended up like this: Josh Allen, Javonte Williams, Kareem Hunt, Justin Jefferson, Michael Pittman, Jalen Waddle. Pretty damn good so far.
Yeah.
Irv Smith is his tight end, and Austin Hooper on the bench. He also has, because a little weak at running back with Javonte and Kareem Hunt, he has Tony Pollard, he only has four running backs. Kadarius Toney, Hunter Renfrow, Sky Moore. So basically, Josh Allen, Javonte Williams, Kareem Hunt, Justin Jefferson, Michael Pittman, Jalen Waddle, Irv Smith, starting lineup.
Not bad.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Joe from a suburb of Detroit. And he said, "Go Giants. Adam is the best host ever." And that's how you get your question read on the show. Keeper question, PPR 10 teams. Keep one for this year and next year. Justin Jefferson in the third, Deebo Samuel in the ninth, and Michael Pittman in the 12th. Full PPR 10-team league.
Okay, so we're picking. You can keep one of them?
Yep, for this year and next year.
This is tough. This is always tough for me because it's so funny. You have to make the decision between Justin Jefferson in the third, which is just so fun and awesome. But then you're just giving up so much value with Deebo in the ninth and Pittman in the 12th. I think
Pittman.
For me,
it's Pittman.
Adam, I was going to say Deebo in the ninth.
I mean, some of us have Pittman ranked ahead of Deebo. I would take Deebo, but in full PPR, I guess there's honestly not a big difference between the ninth and the 12th round in a full PPR league, in a 10-team league, right? I wouldn't worry about that value, so I guess I would take the wide receiver. I would not take Jefferson. I would take Deebo or Pittman, whoever you like better.
Same.
This is from another Jamie from a small town in southwest Montana. I couldn't tell you. Superflex.
He said, because my mom wanted a girl, too.
Yeah, the name of Jamie. Superflex, redraft, 6 point per passing touchdown. There are some bonuses here. With the first pick in a Superflex league, do I go, what kind of quarterbacks? All right, so he's got 5 point bonus for 300 to 399 passing yards.
Yep.
And a 10 point bonus for 400 plus passing yards in a game. So he's got the first pick. Does he go with the Brady, Stafford, Carr, Burrow types or the more rush heavy guys, Allen, Lamar types? Wow.
Yeah, I think what he's trying to say is, look, do these bonuses offset some of the gain that you get from the rushing type quarterbacks?
Yes.
I think the answer is yes, but I think you can still take a player like Josh Allen 1-1 with this pick because Josh Allen comes from the Bills offense and all they care about doing is throwing. They threw the ball in neutral situations more than any team last year. They are just a team that doesn't care that much about running the ball. And even drafting James Cook this year, that means dump offs. Those are count as passes. So I still go with Allen here, but I can make the case for Herbert too.
I would take Herbert. I would take Herbert here. I think he might throw for like 500-600 more yards, might have one or two more 300-yard games. That's two more games where he has five more fantasy points. That's what
maybe
I would do. But yeah, this really hurts Lamar Jackson.
Yes, it does.
Wild scoring. Okay, from Joe. Joe needs keeper help.
We get a lot of Midwest entries.
Yeah, we do.
It's interesting. I appreciate that. I went to school in the Midwest, so I love all you people out there. Some of the nicest people in the world, Adam.
I know. I went to St. Louis, and they were the nicest people. Such good people, really, ever. Okay. Joe says, which three do you keep in a half PPR league? 10th overall pick. So Justin Jefferson in round one, Justin Herbert in round six, Leonard Fournette in round eight, Travis Etienne in round 15. Easy.
Half PPR.
Throwback Herbert.
You get three.
Throwback Herbert.
Throwback Herbert. Yeah, you throw back Herbert.
All right, this is from Grant.
Yeah, you throw back
Herbert. Grant says, DSTs. Based on early strength of schedule, which DST should we be targeting this year? Well, I do like the Titans in week one. They have the Giants. And then they have the Bills, so I wouldn't go with them. If we're looking for two good matchups to start the year, Baltimore has the Jets and the Dolphins. That's probably not good enough. How about Carolina? Carolina has Cleveland and the Giants to start the year, and then the Saints.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's really not bad. Cleveland has Carolina and the Jets. That's not terrible. Denver has Seattle and Houston, and they're just really good anyway. So there are three names for you. What did I say? I said Carolina, Cleveland and Denver.
I like them. Those are all good matchups.
And Drew is in a $200 PPR keeper league. 4 point per passing touchdown. Keep three. Javonte for 28, Waddle for 9, Trey Lance for 7, Gabe Davis for 5.
I am going with Javonte, Waddle, and Davis.
Mm-hmm, me too. And a couple more here from Carl.
And that's funny because me and Adam love Lance, but just in a one QB league, we just can't do it.
From Carl, my home league is 2 running back, 2 wide receivers, and a flex. It is non-PPR, 4 point per passing touchdown. What is your strategy in this format? I usually load up on running back, but I haven't done so well in this league lately. I used to dominate it.
Yeah, Carl, look, this will be a good discussion for me and Adam because, look, it's the 2 receiver format, which Adam has talked about at length, how he likes to not go receivers earlier in this format. It is non-PPR. It seems to scream, go running back, but I don't know. I still feel like I wouldn't stray too far from my draft board and my overall players here. Yeah, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, you don't want to take, say, James Conner over Mike Evans, I would say. Or maybe that's not the greatest example. You don't want to take...
I know what you're saying. Like, you don't want to push up the Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders of the world.
Think about a PPR draft. If there's a running back that's going like 2 or 3 rounds behind a wide receiver, you still should not take him ahead of that wide receiver in a non-PPR draft. Like, don't move running backs up that much. You need good wide receivers. I would go running back heavy. I would have 2 running backs in my first 3 picks, for sure. But not for sure, but most likely. But yeah, I mean, don't go too crazy. And finally, from BD531 keeper question in a PPR league: 2 wide receivers and 2 flexes. Would you take T. Higgins in round 6 or Jalen Hurts in round 12?
Keeper league, regular, no super flex. I'm taking T. Higgins.
Let's read some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This one comes from Matt Smith. I haven't heard you talk too much about these players. Do you think that Davis Mills and Brevin Jordan could take big leaps in year 2? Davis Mills and his tight end, Brevin Jordan, from the University of Miami.
Yeah, I like this call here because Davis Mills is a quarterback who was much better than people realized last year as a rookie. We look at all these rookie seasons. We give excuses for everyone, Zach Wilson, whoever it may be. Mills didn't need those excuses. He didn't have anything around him, and yet he had Brandon Cooks, besides Brandon Cooks. And despite that, he put together some really good tape. He throws a really good ball. He processes better than most of these young quarterbacks, and I kind of like him too, especially with Pep Hamilton over there. And then finally, Brevin Jordan. This is probably the profile I think you want for these late tight end stashes because he's hyper-athletic, uber-athletic type prospect. Those are typically the typical breakouts rather than kind of these slow lumbering tight ends who seem to be getting a lot of snaps. So they move up your, maybe like the Robert Tonyan types I'm thinking of. I do kind of like targeting the athletic type of guys for late round tight end stashes.
He was the number one tight end prospect in college and he was a late draft pick.
You mean going into college?
Going into college.
From high school. Yeah.
Because he's in the same class as Kyle Pitts. So. Same NFL draft class. NFL draft class. I don't know if he was in the same high school class. But yeah, Brevin Jordan was a great prospect, had a really good career, but he's small. So that's why he fell in the draft. He's not going to be a blocker. But yeah, I think he could definitely enter the streaming discussion for sure. I don't think he's going to be a must-start guy. But maybe. You never know. Remember, half the top five tight ends are round 12 right. or later. This is from... What's your name? John in Ohio. All right, so we don't grade drafts very often. But let's see how John did from the 12 spot. Do you like this team? It is a 2 QB league. 2 wide receivers, 2 running backs, tight end, and a flex.
Oh my God.
I would love it in a 1 QB league.
I am so confused by how Burrow's going this late in the 2 QB
league. This is not a 2 QB league.
And where did he... He must have done a typo here because he didn't draft a second QB.
He drafted Fields.
Oh, Fields. Never mind. This is great. You get Burrow and Fields this late in
no
the 2
chance.
QB league?
There's no way.
Can you reach out to me, please, Joe, and let me know if there's any openings in this league.
Joe Burrow was his 8th round pick, I think. So let's pretend this is a 1 QB league, because actually when I read this email, I thought it was a 1 QB league and would be more helpful for people. So
okay.
How do you feel about this team from the 12 spot? Because I think he crushed it. Mixon and Kelsey.
This is my kind of team.
Yeah. Mixon, Kelsey, A.J. Brown, and Sutton. Now here's where I would have done something different. Michael Thomas and Allen Robinson. I just don't see why you need to go with a 4th wide receiver there instead of a 2nd running back.
Oh no, Adam!
A second. Don't even tell me you're building your flex, because you know that guy's a bench player for you. You can only start 3
Adam.
Wide receivers.
And you're looking at this too. Look, it's not just about getting that starting lineup set for week one. There's injuries. There's bye weeks.
Yes, no kidding.
There's people that don't break out.
That's why you need more running backs.
Give yourself... No. You're going to find running backs on the wire. Hines, Gainwell, you could throw those guys in any game.
No, I don't know. Maybe Hines. But I don't agree with you in a half PPR league. I don't know. Well, he did get Chase Edmonds. All right. Sorry, I'll keep reading it.
I love this team. This is an A.
Mixon, Kelsey, A.J. Brown, Cortland Sutton, Michael Thomas, Allen Robinson, Chase Edmonds, James Robinson, Joe Burrow.
I didn't even see James Robinson.
Yeah, James
Robinson's
a great pick.
Let's go.
Naeem Hines, Gainwell. All right, but I want to know which tight end was available when you took Allen Robinson. If Dalton Schultz were there. No, they don't. If Dalton Schultz were there, I don't see why you take a 4th wide receiver.
Gross.
There.
Dalton Schultz over Allen Robinson?
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Well, that's tough. That's a tough sell. That's a tough sell.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a great value for Allen Robinson. Wow. Yeah, you did
this
a great job.
So stacked.
It's a good job. All right. From Joe. He's got a friendship strategy suggestion. Friendship strategy is taking 2 wide receivers on the same team. The thought is they both have independently, they're both good values where you took them, but one of them, if something happens to the other one of them could be a star. And even if one of them ends up being a bust, you know, it's still worth it to take 2 of them because you have 1 must-start player. So he is suggesting Juju Smith-Schuster in the 6th round and MVS in the 11th round or later. I think it's a good call.
Yeah, we call it wide receiver handcuffing. That's basically what this is. It's similar to the running back handcuffing in a sense. You're really banking on the injury because... I mean, you're right. You could still get value out of these guys, probably, especially in a good offense, but there's a better chance that one will break out, one will bust, and you're giving yourself less of a chance or more of a chance of that, I guess. But at the same time, like you said, if there's an injury, you just hit a first round, you know, top 3 round receiver with a 6th round pick.
You're right. And I wouldn't say it's a little different than handcuffing just because handcuffs often have no value. You know, you're not going to start that guy. He's going to get almost no touches.
Value.
MVS is, you know, you could start him, right? He might be better than Juju. I don't think he will, but
he might be.
He might be, and he might certainly.
Juju's knee acting up again is scaring me.
Sure, and he certainly might be better than Sky Moore, who's going ahead of him.
Well, he's not even practicing with the first team right now. So,
this is from Sean. Now that home leagues are going to start drafting soon, I was wondering about some names you don't typically talk about. I found that a good chunk of casual players will read a couple sleeper breakout bust columns and ignore that it's usually ADP. You're right. What happened there? You're muted. You muted your mic. Whatever you just dropped.
Sorry, little technical error.
All right. Also, you got to fix your mic settings.
We're back. We're back. We're going. We're good. We're good.
It knocked you off your microphone. You're using your computer mic now. So
no, I'm on the good mic now.
All right. Anyway, that was great. I found a good chunk of casual players will read a couple sleeper breakout bust columns and ignore that it's usually ADP value based. And sometimes pushes guys down a few rounds and inflates the prices of others. So Who are some guys that you aren't overly excited to draft at their current value that you would be pretty happy about getting a round or two later?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Not excited about their current value, but you get them a round or two later and you're happy. So let's say, I mean, you brought one up at the beginning, Tyreek Hill. You probably feel that way about him. I would say a couple other guys I'd add to that. Javonte Williams. I don't love him at his ADP. We've discussed that in length, why it's just a big price to pay for someone without a full workload. But if other people are feeling that way and he drops, that's definitely a player who comes to mind for me, Adam. I would say the same can be said maybe about a player like J.K. Dobbins. I don't love him at his current value, but if he continues to drop, it's another guy I could get on board with there. Let's see who else would fit the bill there.
Yeah, for me, it's Elijah Mitchell. I think everyone's going to be off of him, and he's already injured, but I think he's going to have a solid season when he's healthy. So if he sneaks into like round 8, I think Elijah Mitchell. I had one. Jerry Jeudy. No, I think he's going to end up going higher. I was going to say somebody. It'll come to me. But I'm trying to think of people that like that might get pushed down for one reason or another. Maybe they're on a bus list. Oh, TJ Hockenson. I don't really like TJ Hockenson, but he's going 69th overall. He's a round 6 pick. I mean, there's no chance I would take him. But round 8, I'll take Hockenson. So that's one guy.
Yeah, I definitely won't be using any round 8 picks on Hockenson this year, I don't think.
All right. And that's it for our Apple Podcast questions. We have a few minutes left. YouTube, what's going on, YouTube? Send in your questions.
And can we get somebody to audit how Adam picks the questions? I feel like he picks the comments that... He really does like to cherry pick these comments. Before we had one about how awful my entertainment takes were. I mean, come on, Adam. Let's be.
What do you want me to do?
Fair.
Want me to pick just all questions, or should I pick good ones? Here's one from Jeff.
Okay.
Would you take?
Oh.
If you're going to do the teammate strategy, the friendship strategy, would you go with Juju and Sky Moore or Juju and MVS?
Juju and Sky for me.
Juju and Sky Moore. Okay. How about? From Nitty Nasty, super flex, half PPR, 10 team league, 6th pick. Do I go quarterback with my first pick and second pick, or quarterback then running back?
Yeah, this is just thinking back to like Scott Fishbowl and other super flexes, you can afford to go with the top running back with that second pick. I did that. A few other teams have done that. And then you're still going to get a decent quarterback coming back around. It'll probably be past that Trey Lance range. It'll probably be into like the next range, like the Derek Carr range. But it kind of depends how you want your build. Do you want that next tier of running back, or do you want the next tier of quarterback? I would go with the top running back and then take the whatever's left at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Round
3.
Yeah.
I took Jonathan Taylor 6th.
I know
overall.
You still got Lance, right?
Stafford was my QB 2.
Oh, okay.
I can't even remember who my QB 1 was. I think it was Russell
Wilson. Was this
Fishbowl? No, this was a mock draft we did.
Okay.
I had the 6th pick and I took Taylor in round 1, Russell Wilson or something like that in round 2, and Stafford in round 3. And I was really happy, but the thing is, that was a 12-team league. This is a 10-team league. I do not think you need to take a quarterback in round 1. If Jonathan Taylor is there in round 1, I would take him because I think you'll get two good quarterbacks. But if you know your league better than I do, obviously, maybe it's crazy quarterback heavy. But I think you'll be able to get someone in the Derek Carr, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers range, maybe Kirk Cousins in round 3. From Jonathan, I have Jefferson as a 3rd-round keeper. Should I target Dalvin Cook as a running back or Adam Thielen in later rounds? Does having Jefferson make you any more likely to take another Viking?
No, to be honest. And the only other person who would make me more likely to take is Kirk Cousins for the stack.
From John Edwards, where would you take Alvin Kamara right now?
I feel like the FFT team is kind of split on Kamara, right? Some of us are so much higher than others. I am somewhere in the middle, I think, right now with Kamara. I'd probably take a mid 2. What about you, Adam?
I think...
Is that high?
I'm late 1st.
Okay.
And Chris Harris was on the other day, and he thinks he should be a top 5 pick. Top 5, top 6, or at least is justifiable, and I agree.
What was his case?
He's Alvin Kamara. He's the lead running back. I think the only case against Kamara is that he had 4 games last year where he played fewer than 70% of the snaps, and they were the only 4 games he played with Mark Ingram. But the more I think about it, I mean, Mark Ingram is, I think, is 32 years old. Is he really going to be the reason that Alvin Kamara isn't great? You know, Dave brought it up. He had his highest in the games he played with Jameis Winston last year. Alvin Kamara, according to Dave, had a higher target share than his career high
Drew
in target
Brees days.
Share.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And now Michael Thomas wasn't playing and Chris Olave wasn't playing and Jarvis Landry wasn't playing.
Right.
But he's still, I think he's a 60 catch guy. And, you know, I think he's going to be good, but I'm not going to take him in the top five because I've seen him. I've seen Alvin Kamara without the touchdowns 1 year.
Right.
That 1 year, like 3 years ago. And he was not a top five player, but and he was always on these amazing offenses, but that year the offense wasn't as good, whatever. But so, or that year he just didn't score the touchdown. So basically, I think he won't have the same type of touchdown upside he used to have. So that pushes him down. Late round one for me, mid round two for Dan. Okay. Should I keep from Philip Javonte Williams in the fifth or Cam Akers in the 14th?
I don't like Akers, but Akers in the 14th, the value is just too good.
All right. This one's from Quad. Do we like Mike Davis?
No.
No, but if Gus Edwards starts the year on the PUP list,
yeah, you're right.
There's something there. He'll probably get a few get a few carries. Yeah, he might get like 8 carries. You never know. Let's see. Deep Dynasty Superflex, Flacco or Dalton?
Flacco. At least you might get some starts out of him.
Hey Dan,
oh, it's Dynasty too. Wow.
In your auction draft tip video with Chris Towers, you spoke on a 3-core player draft strategy. Which 3 wide receivers? With 3 wide receivers, how many of the 3 are wide receivers for you in a half PPR league? Also, Adam, great hair day. That seems sarcastic.
Well, you know what the first comment you ever made to me on when I made like one of my first or second FFT appearances? You're like, wow, Dan Schneier with the horrible hair, a terrible haircut, terrible hair.
I think I said you were the only person who had sloppier hair than me.
Right. And can we get some kind of some guys and girls take to the comments from this pod and for the next one on who has better hair, who has less sloppy hair, me or Adam?
That's two different questions.
Just look at this. Just look at this beautiful head of hair and then look at that. Just take a quick look at this and then look at that. That's all I need to say.
Oh, yeah. So I have sloppier hair, but I also have better hair.
That's not you. Better hair.
I have better hair than you.
Better hair. The Jufro? You like the Jufro? Who likes the Jufro?
What do you think? Been out of style for like 10 years. What do you think have? You have a Jufro too.
This is not a Jufro. This is nice and straight and wavy.
Get out of here.
Look at that. Look at that thing. That is nowhere close.
I'm due for a haircut, okay? So this isn't really fair. You're catching me at my worst.
I've never seen it better. But let me answer this question right now. Yeah, you can go all three. In a half point PPR, I do feel like if you want to, you can go all three. It's a little risky. I'd probably my build wouldn't be that. I like the hero running back build. So one of my three is always a running back. And then I have like 2 receivers. But typically, I will also say I've built a really good auction team with Travis Kelce. So if you want to go with tight end as one of your core guys, you can do that too if you get the elite guy there.
Good question here from Max. I'm struggling drafting with the 7th pick. Do you have a preference between Jamar Chase, Dalvin Cook, or Najee Harris in a 12-team half PPR league?
Yeah, my preference is Jamar Chase. Do you have a preference there, Adam?
I'm going to say Najee Harris.
Ugh.
Yeah. If you look at the workload he got last year, if he gets that workload again, he is guaranteed to be a top 10 running back per game.
True.
And that is based on every running back over the last 5 years that has gotten that workload. They all finished top 5, and not quite that, not even that much, but a little bit less. But they all finished top 10 per game in full PPR. This is half PPR, so it won't be a problem. So he's super safe. Cook to me is you know at the age where I'm starting to worry about a slowdown, and he's always injury prone. I love Jamar Chase. So I'd go Najee Chase Cook. 3 receiver league, I'm fine with it. Two receiver league, I would take Najee.
Okay.
I take Najee anyway, but I love Chase, so it's fine. All right. How about some hair comments here? Dan's.
Wow, let's go.
This guy's name is Dan.
Adam put this up. I cannot believe Adam put this up.
Well, his name is Dan. He said Dan's are just better at everything. Adam has the Paul Rudd slop. It works because he's not balding. Adam has more hair, but Dan's is better.
More hair?
I do have more hair than you. Dan, more effort.
Yeah, I mean, A little bit of effort. Just kind of comb it over.
Adam forgot to comb his hair. I never comb my hair. How early would you take DeAndre Hopkins? This will be our last question.
Okay. Where are you at on Hopkins this year? I feel like he's at the age where I'm starting to fade him a little bit more. I see the upside, but you got to keep him on for six games on your bench. You probably can't put him on IR in most leagues. He's not going to be eligible. I don't know. Maybe round 8, 9, 10 range. And is it higher for you?
I don't think he'll get there.
Yeah, I know he won't get there.
So I think he's a round 7 guy.
Okay.
12 team league. Round 8 would be great. I take Alan Lazard over him.
Once we get to
the Drake London, Devontae Smith, who else would be in that tier? Do a quick little search here. Tyler Lockett, Devontae Smith, Drake London, Brandon Ayuk, Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, he's going over all those.
Yeah, I'll pull the trigger on DeAndre Hopkins ahead of them.
What happened to your Tony love? It's faded.
No, I like Tony. I think he's in that group after Hopkins.
I'm scared of him now. Because
I want him to stay on the field, Dan. It's ridiculous.
I'm more worried about it. That is true, and he's been injured again. But Daniel Jones has looked so bad. That's the bigger concern for me right now. Hopefully, he can just fix that, I guess.
The encouraging thing was I thought he looked fine. He didn't look bad. He looked fine in the preseason
game.
So maybe in the game, you know, is better.
That part sounds all good until you realize the Patriots played zero starters in that game on defense.
Right. And we'll end with this from Corey. Dan's hair would be better if he weren't a Giants fan.
Wow. A typical Cowboys Eagles fan here. Look, I get it. But if you're a Cowboys fan, just go ahead, turn to your right and look for your VCR. You should have it somewhere in your house. You can play your last Super Bowl. You can play your last Super Bowl run there on your VCR. It should be somewhere there. So go find that.
That was awesome. And I don't even know. Yeah, I guess for Washington fans, too.
Who knows the last time that was? They might have still been Betamax at that point.
That was VCR territory. That was what, 1991? Yeah. I think
the
they
Gibbs
won it.
Years.
All right, let's end the show. Have a great weekend, everybody. Oh, I have a call in 10 minutes. What a day. I got to go. I think I'm gonna eat a leftover burrito right now, Dan. I am fired up. Have a great weekend, everybody. And we'll talk to you on Monday on Fantasy Football Today. We do have some FFT and 5 episodes dropping on Sunday. Otherwise, we'll talk to you Monday. Take care.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.